Welcome to We Could Be Wrong. Here's Am Anderson.
This is Christopher Harris.
Evan.
And
Mike. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to We Could Be Wrong, but who cares? We have a lot of our staff out sick. I was out sick. I had COVID, and I have both vaccines as well as the booster. Me and my whole family got it, and my voice is still not the same because of it. And it's okay. I'm glad I got the vaccine. And I'm glad I got the booster.
Yeah, but how do you feel, brother?
I mean, I kind of still feel like shit, but
yeah, but you made it, right? You made it through.
Well, if you let me finish talking, I would just like,
slow down. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So
what an ass.
Regardless that I got both vaccines and the booster, and I still got it. I still believed it helped me. Now, the truth is, I really don't know, but I'm glad that I did get it in hopes, you know, that it did help. Because even though I had those things, I still got it kind of bad. I mean, I lost my sense of smell, scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for a little over a day, I lost my ability to speak. And a lot of people were very thankful for that.
Well, I was going to say, that's like standing ovation there.
Wow, Chris not speaking. What the hell's up with that?
It was, yeah. Finally. Absolutely. But like I said, you know, I still have a lingering cough. My wife still has a lingering cough. You know, my voice cracks a lot. So, but it happened.
Go ahead. So the point I want to ask is, are you happy you got the booster? Do you think it helped?
I don't know, but I'm glad I got it.
Thank you. That's all I care about is you think you got the booster.
Yeah, well, regardless, I was always going to get it. Now,
okay, again, good.
You know, the argument is, does it even matter? For me, I believe it did. For me.
Thank you.
Yeah. So a lot of things happened while we were away. Our YouTube channel got shut down for a second time. And I want to let the audience know that we're going to have a backup YouTube channel and they'll probably run simultaneously. It's kind of hard to fight against accusations when you don't know what those accusations are.
So what did Kevin do?
Oh, nothing.
probably all my vaccine talk.
I just wonder what Kevin did to shut down the YouTube channel.
So, those are the things that, that happened. We also had the jury come in with a verdict for the gosh, how many pronounce his name? Ahmaud Arbery case.
Thank you.
And there's something very important that I wanted to say about that case in particular. There's something that the judge said that we've been actually hearing here from the panel for a real, real long time. And as I'm looking for that, I'm going to hand it over to Sean to give his thoughts, and then we'll run down the panel. Sean?
Oh, about Ahmaud Arbery? Oh, it's about time. I think now we're starting to get justice. I'm sorry. I mean, I think things have been going crazy for too long. We got justice. Two life sentences without parole and one maybe 30 years. It's like, you know what? We have to start prosecuting these people that do stuff wrong.
Yeah, taking people accountable for their wrongdoings.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But we haven't been. Now we are. Thank you. So I'm very happy with this verdict. Next.
I'm with Sean. Finally, it just sucks just the aftermath of what happened, where it took, 70 plus days for those guys to get arrested.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have to fix that, of course, but I'm just glad that justice was served and those guys are not going to see a light of day.
Amen.
Was that on video? Does anyone know?
I want to say no.
Okay.
No, was what on video?
The crime.
Like the actual shooting or something.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, that's what got, that's what got the third guy in problems, because he recorded it and he showed it to the judge, right, thinking he was going to get out of it.
That is right.
Yeah. Okay. Or the jury, but he showed it to somebody.
Did they ever release it?
Yes.
Oh, they did. Okay. Well, you know what? I wouldn't want to see.
Yes, that sir. Movie,
so.
Well, it was released privately initially.
Correct, yeah, Mike. There was like kind of an accusation that it backfired on them. Like they thought it was.
Well, I think he thought it was going to get him out of the problem, but he got into a problem.
Got him 30 years.
I kind of feel a bit sorry for the neighbor that got involved. He didn't seem to have the same zeal toward shooting, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, but he certainly was there. He took part. He filmed it. But man, 30 years for a pretty stupid thing to do.
I think he was involved more than that. My opinion. I think he was involved more than that. We don't know anything that happened. I didn't look a lot in the case.
Well, the father and the son seemed to be the two aggressors in terms of making sure he didn't get away. And he's the one that pulled the gun and all of that. The other guy did not have a gun. I mean, he was there. He was a participant. And that's like aiding and abetting. And if you abet in a crime, you deserve a punishment as well. But boy, 30 years to me in that particular situation seems a little harsh. But
well, we have to look into it more. I honestly don't know, Mike, because I haven't looked into it enough. But I think he had more to do with it than that.
He could make the argument that he tried to videotape it, so he tried to make sure that nothing wrong happened, and that whatever happened would be on record.
Chris, would you know anything more about that or no?
So what happened was, it was on the advice of his lawyer for him to release the tape because. Ooh. Yeah, it was on the advice of his lawyer. I think what happened was these three men thought they were going to be heroes. And when it started looking like that wasn't going to happen, the guy wanted to save his ass and somehow not be a part of this, you know? Mm-hmm. But he was. And that's how, if it wasn't for the neighbor releasing that video, because it was his lawyer that did it, was it for him, I don't think these men would be
convicted
at all.
Right. Well, there was really no evidence of Mon Arbery's doing anything. Well, he was in that house. He went in that house like many people did. They had no evidence of him stealing stuff.
Well, did they release the video before charges of any kind were filed?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
Roddy, what's his name? Rowdy? I can't remember his name. He released it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you had the DA aspect where the DA wasn't going to, file charges. I guess
not only not file charges, but got rid of evidence.
Yeah.
Wow. And nothing happens to them.
No.
The DA actually got prosecuted.
Well, is going to be.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well,
personally, I think it's about time people start taking responsibility for their actions. Life, 30 years. Thank you.
Well, they killed
a guy. They killed somebody.
The argument on the other side ends up being, there is such an uproar, about all the injustice. But when you look at like the last few big decisions that they, like you're saying, it is, kind of going the right way.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, come on, you killed somebody.
Right.
Who didn't do nothing.
So
who did nothing? He was running. He had nothing with him. He ran.
John, hold on, please.
Sorry, Chris.
This is something that I really wanted to point out, and it's a quote that I felt that was very powerful in this whole situation. And this runs exactly parallel to something that someone on this panel has always said from the beginning. This is a quote from the judge. Okay. He said, a neighbor is more than people who just own property around your house. Okay. That's verbatim. Sorry. In assuming the worst in others, we show our worst character. And I wanted to point that out because there's someone right now that's on our panel now that's been saying that, screaming that from the very beginning of this show. When you take everything to the worst case scenario, when you take everything to the worst case scenario, and this is exactly what this judge is saying, in assuming the worst in others, we show our worst character. Does that make sense to everyone?
No, true. True.
I need to break it down more.
No, it's true.
Mike, would you like to take lead in how you've been saying this from the very beginning of the show?
No, it's just, well, it's in a different context to a degree, because as we argue between conservative and liberal, we like to point out specific examples of things to make our point. And we typically go to the worst case scenario to make that point. And when you do that, you know, you really don't make your point at all. You just, you know, you just,
what?
You know, you reveal part of your own biases. You
so
really do.
Even though it's a different content, it runs parallel to what you're saying. I think you're giving yourself the proper amount of credit, Mike. This is what happens when we right away assume the worst about someone or take it to the worst case scenario. You know, this super religious zealot is going to ruin everything when that's too much, because we're taking it to the worst case scenario. Or when you say this, you know, heathen liberal is going to make everyone gay, taking it to the worst case scenario. But you're really showing the worst character in yourself. Instead of trying to bridge that gap, instead of trying to give an olive branch, you're already making it.
Amen. Amen.
And unfortunately, this young man's life was taken because someone just saw that must be a thief. Regardless of how many people walk through that open site of that house that they have tape of, that
one they don't own, which they don't own either.
No. Right. And felt empowered by society, apparently, felt empowered to be able to say to this guy, hey, I will kill you if you don't do what I tell you to do.
Well,
you know, it's like, where did that, I mean, where, what power, where did that power come from?
Well, it's so ingrained that they're trying to videotape it to justify it. They're like, right, guys? Yeah, you have that power.
Well, the issue is, too, they never showed him stealing anything. He was a runner. He ran. They found nothing on him. He was a runner. Did he go through the house? Of course. Many people did.
Yeah.
But let's not forget that they didn't even have the power to pull them over either while running.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, back then they had the citizens arrest stuff, which thank God George has changed.
Yeah, I mean,
but it wasn't legal what they did.
Yeah.
They thought it was, maybe.
Well, they did. They did, obviously.
So, I mean, they are going to go up against, I guess, hate crimes as well. There's going to be federal charges against them as well, because they're going to start up that trial pretty soon.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's life in 30 years.
It's the principle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just happy. Life in 30 years.
So,
make the statement. Stop killing people.
So I was hoping for a full panel today. We didn't get it. So I'm going to move on and move a little bit quickly. But one thing I do want to touch on, and I'll probably touch on again next week, is the fact that we have been seeing a lot of crime. There's been rising crime in our nation. Now, I know that Kevin did some research on that. And I'll get to Kevin in the moment. But what I want to talk about is I was watching. I think I sent almost everyone the videos. I don't know if Anderson got the videos, but there's a series of videos I sent out. There's been two teenagers that died at two different Burger King locations due to robbery, shot and killed.
Yeah.
There's been a police officer that was gunned down when she was answering a call at a hotel. And the real interesting thing is I spend the majority of my time watching local news stations through the power of YouTube. Okay. I have access to Houston, you know, Brooklyn, Queens, major cities and non-major cities, but local news stations, and watching the reporters there. And I did that because that refers back to our special end of the year show where I said, you know what, let's just not depend on our major media outlets. Let's venture out and try to get as much knowledge on certain things that we find interesting on. And that's what I've been doing. And the one thing that I noticed in the comment section is that instead of saying, because, you know, a majority of these crimes I watched were perpetrated by people of color. And one of the things I noticed in the comment sections, especially by other immigrants, is people would say, wow, again and again, what a culture. And I thought that was interesting. I saw it once and I thought that was interesting on one video. Then I went to another video and then I saw it from written by another person. What a culture, right, guys? And I said, oh, crap, I've seen that before. And I thought it was the same person. It really wasn't. I clicked over to the first video, went to that guy's comment, clicked on it, and I started writing, hey, you know, what do you mean? When I saw another person of color, asked them, what do you mean by culture? Whose culture? American culture? Are you from a different country seeing about America's violence? When the guy goes, no, the blacks. And right away that opened up a whole, you know, Pandora box about racism, because of course other people comment on like, what do you like? Not all blacks do this. I'm black and I find this highly disgusting. I would never do this. And then other people would come in and be like, really? Because when you watch all crime, it's usually perpetrated by blacks. You know, how come no one talks about how much crime blacks do against each other? They want to, and it became a Blue Lives Matter thing until everything else, it snowballed. But so, then, go ahead.
So I guess, Chris, my question is, so the African Americans are 17% of the U.S. Mm-hmm. That's just standards. Mm-hmm. How much of the crime is committed by African Americans? I don't know. I'm not judging. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything. I'm just wondering.
Let me go a little bit more into where I'm leading in this story. So the original person had a Vietnamese surname, mm-hmm. right? And this person writes and states, you know, he states, let me, I'm actually going to, it's not race. Okay. He states exactly. It's not a race problem. It's a cultural problem. And then they push him up. They push on him again, and someone comes in named Dark Locust, writes, yep, I've always said that culture is toxic as fuck. That's what this person writes. Always said this culture is toxic as fuck. And then a person of color comes in and says, look, I'm black, and I'm telling you, this is not something that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the same Vietnamese person with the surname writes back, and I read it here, and he goes, this is not, you know, I'm not racist. I'm a minority myself. It's just the black culture. Like my people have our culture. And so I want to ask you guys, you know, and Anderson as well, because Anderson has his thumb on the pulse here. Is this a new way of saying the blacks?
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's the new way to say the blacks. It's obvious. Because who do they mean? Are they talking about?
Everyone who went to back up the gentleman with the Vietnamese surname said it's the blacks, except him. He said it's their culture.
Wait, what do you mean the blacks?
Well, I think a lot of times what gets confused here is like the drug culture. Because like, you know, when it was the Italians, it was the same thing. They would kill you over a dollar. They had to protect their reputation and it was glorified. And the people that were good at it were held up on a pedestal. I think a lot of times when people are making that accusation is they're talking about the rap music and all other different things. And I mean, like, I'm sure there is that aspect of things in gang culture where, you know, violence is glorified, but that is not a specific race issue. Like I'm saying with, like, you know, the Italians or any of the It's more
of as the Italians and mob. Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
like,
or the Irish and the mob. Yeah, or the Irish and the mob. Every drug trade.
Every nationality has their own mob. You know,
not the Irish.
When you're living in illicit, when you're dealing in illicit industries, black market, you have to live and die by killing people. And that is what ends up happening in the culture.
Does that make sense to you, what Kevin just said, Anderson?
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
What culture? I mean, they're just pointing out that black people are the ones doing it. It doesn't have to matter if it was rap music. I mean, Chris is black, and they probably put Chris in the same category. I'm black. Us in the same categories, too.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right.
I'm saying
Chris is black?
I'm saying they're broadly identifying the drug culture or gang culture even that goes across races like the mob. And they are identifying it singularly as black. There's Mexican cartels and that whole situation that goes on where it's the same situation. And you know, even worse, a lot of times they're talking about, you know, cutting people's heads off and really doing violent displays, you know, to keep people in line.
my question is, how can we sort of put a stop to this? Because in a weird way, you know, I felt offended. And this was more than just one video where I noticed that people would say it's their culture. You know, and it's like, is there a different American black culture to American culture, or are we all the same? Are we all Americans?
When they say that, it seems like they categorize blacks all as that. What they say is their culture. Is their culture?
Dude, I so hope we're all Americans.
And that's the problem. No one says that.
Well, I do. I say that. Anderson, you're an American. Chris, you're an American. Mike, you're an American. I hope we're all Americans.
But like Chris said, how do we get through those people that are doing that? Opposite of what you're saying.
Do the poor have a different culture in America, Chris?
Sure.
There's where you're actually going.
That's a hard question.
Well, yes. And that's why I'm trying to take my time to articulate something that can make valid sense. Because if I have someone that has dark pigmentation and I have someone that has very light pigmentation, okay, and you put us in the same trailer park, we're pretty much going to be the same.
Yeah. But take a situation like Chicago, okay, where there's a high percentage of blacks, and there's a high percentage of blacks on blacks crime. So people point to that and go, see, look at them. Look at what they're doing to themselves. You know, that's their culture. That's how I see that being identified. Uh-huh. And it really has nothing to do with being black. And it's the socioeconomic aspect of the environment in which they're in.
And that's called a proximity or a proximal crime. Is that the definition of that? Where you crime around the people that you're surrounded by? Sort of the same way that in Chinatown in San Francisco, you know, the Chinese will do crime against Chinese.
Or absolutely.
To, you know, Little Italy in San Diego, and there's a lot of Italian, you know, a grouping there, Italians would do crime against Italians. It's not that Italians do crime against Italians, it's proximity. It's who's around you that you'll do the crime in.
Yeah, well, maybe a better word is opportunity. The opportunity is there in a poor neighborhood for that crime. So you're going to take advantage of that. It's easier. So that's what's happening. But it's not cultural. It's a basis of, you know, like being poor, being in a situation where you have no hope. Take away hope, you're going to have crime.
Right.
That's I don't care. I don't care what, you know, go to Pakistan, take away hope, you're going to have crime, you know.
So there was yesterday morning, there was a home burglary.
Burglary.
in San Francisco at 9 o'clock in the morning, right? It's on video. There's, you know, people have ring doorbell things. You see these people. I mean, they're all, you can't see their skin. They have gloves on, mask on, hoods over their heads, and they try to break into this house in San Francisco yesterday. Two Asian women, sisters, are at home. They screamed down asking if it was their parents trying to get into their house. They locked themselves in their bedroom closets and locked the door. And the guys try to break down the door to the bedroom. They scream and the guys take off. The police are called. They come in. They took off with cash, jewelry. And the police state that, you know, they had to know them. Right. So it's someone who they know robbed them. The mother of the two daughters said, no. Those people come and because I think it was said, one of the daughters said, why us? We don't look like we have anything. Why did they come to us? And the mother stated, those people target Asians. And this is why they target us. Now, I don't know who she meant by those people. And they didn't really explain that in the news article, in the news report either. But I thought that was interesting because the truth is, we don't know, like, did she mean bad people? You know, I'm so oversaturated with just black crime and all these little local news stations that I myself start to think that. But when I see the perpetrators on video, I can't tell what color they are. You really can't. And I saw that video at least 30 times over and over trying to see who could it be. And I had fear, what if they're black? Now, is that my local media putting in that fear that it must be blacks? Or am I reading the comment section that tells me it's that culture that always does that?
I don't know. Is that what the comment section about that particular incident said?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, and that's the thing. And I feel like this is, you know, this is how America thinks. This is how our everyday Joes think.
This is part of the racial divide. This is part of what divides us. You're hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah, there's definitely a segment of the population that feels that way. But it's, you know, there is a view that it is kind of being pushed and divided further.
Yeah. The interestingly, I don't know whether I should go this far or not, but what's the awards program that was supposed to be on tonight?
The Grammys?
Yeah.
Golden Globes. Well, the Grammys were canceled. Golden Globes. They're going to continue to have the Golden Globes, but they're going to restrict the number of people that are there, and it's not going to be put on air. It's only going to be put on their website. And so the news reporter goes, well, why? Because of COVID? Well, no, not really. There's lots of issues going on. Well, come to find out, one of the big issues, and last year, one of the big comedian women pointed out, you know, one of the things that bothers me about this particular organization is there are like 450 people and not one black member of the entire group. That seems a little strange to me. I'm sure hoping we can work toward progress. So that became like a lightning point. You know, can you have 450 people in an organization, and if you represent 19% of the population, none? So that's what affirmative action did. By the way, I'm really getting carried away, but that's what affirmative action was designed to do. You take a town like Reedley, where I taught, 10,000 people, a high school staff of 75, one Hispanic, all the rest white. 62% of the population was Hispanic. Mm-hmm. 9 officers are white and 1 black. So affirmative action basically said, look, you got to at least reflect the racial percentage of the population. And that makes sense, doesn't it, when you think about it? That was the purpose of affirmative action. So in the time that I was at Reedley High School, we went from one Hispanic teacher to probably 42% Hispanic teachers there over a period of 30 years. Progress? That's what affirmative action was supposed to do.
Thank you very much for sharing that. You know, I really wanted to really say that they also brought that up, you know, about affirmative action because, you know, people of color started fighting with some of the other people. And that's what it became. One of the people of color brought up affirmative action and what they stated was the true reason for that. And also brought up that it was supposed to bring equal opportunity to women as well as people of color.
Right.
So you said right. So I don't really know the true intention of that, but a majority of people attacked that person and said it wasn't for women at all. And it was wild. And it made me feel that racism was alive and well in our society still. And I wanted to find a way of how, you know, we could make people feel like, hey, it's not about culture. We're all Americans. And yes, it's about poor. It's about the haves and have nots. You know, I mean, the fact that a 17-year-old girl working at Burger King at night, you know, to have some extra money because she's a junior in high school. Wants to get, you know, someone wants to shoot that little girl in the head. That's crazy. And why that monster did that is beyond me. But it has nothing to do with him being black. It has nothing to do with that, you know. It has everything to do with him being a straight monster of an individual. And it's just wild. People sometimes do evil things. The same way it is for that young 7-year-old who's been missing for 2 years and, you know, the stepmother has been getting food stamps for her and she's gone. And now they have both the stepmother and the father arrested. The father who had to beat her up a little bit.
You know, I mean, like Mike said, I mean, no one's above. I mean, when you're desperate, you know, you're more prone to violence. You're more prone to crime. Like, it seems relatively like a better idea than the alternative. You know, when things are going great, no one's just like, oh, let me go start, you know, committing crimes unless there is like a serious, you know, mental issue going on.
Do you guys think it's a mental issue or do you just think that people are just bad?
Well, no, I mean, I think a lot of the inner city crime is a direct result of the prohibition of drugs and the drug trade. And in order to protect your drug trade, a lot of the times you need to enforce, you know, some sort of rules through violence. Mm-hmm. That's just how it works. It has nothing to do with, you know, different, you know, every time any group of people engage in that activity, it ends in violence and murder.
I mean, we just went through the big deal with it slips my mind. What's the drug of choice now? What's the company that got sued? What drug were they pushing?
Pharma, Sacklers, yeah. Opiates, Percocet, Oxycontin.
Yeah. Yeah, they did all that entire industry fentanyl. Just got fentanyl. Yeah. They just got slapped for that, for basically making it so easy and pushing it in a sense. Isn't it interesting? I mean, we go so far and then society has a reaction to it. There's a lawsuit or a number of lawsuits, and then we constrict back into, oh, okay, maybe we shouldn't be pushing out so much fentanyl. But in the same time, how many marijuana clinics are opening up in California? Yeah, we're going crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we'll go into that. I think there was a $26 billion settlement of some sort, but Chris was asking kind of like maybe what's the solution. And you know, there was a policy in Portugal where they decriminalized all drugs, and the stipulation was they took all of the money that they usually used in prisons and police enforcement and put it into treatment and recovery programs and housing for the addicts, and they were able to cut addiction by like 60%. It was a huge success story, and that would go to solving a lot of the issues as a first step. You know, I mean, if they're not able to kill each other over territory and all the different, you know, things that are going on, because you're able to go to either a treatment center where they will give you the drug, but if you want the treatment, you can also get the treatment. Especially where there's a lot of these, fentanyl overdoses where they don't even know they're taking fentanyl. There's a whole situation going on there. It solves a lot of problems.
Chris, you said it pretty well when you're saying, is this a bad person?
Yeah.
Or does this reflect on an entire culture? You know, and the spillover, that's what people do. They don't make the distinction between one thing. It's easier to find a broader answer, and say, wow, this is what they do. And the other side, real quick, and one more thing. Yeah, the other racist component is you always have to have somebody below you. As long as you have somebody below you, you feel better. That's a key component of racism. You got to have somebody to step on. And then you're feeling good about yourself.
Well, yeah, I think LBJ says if you give the general population someone to look down on, they'll help you empty their pockets, or they'll empty their pockets for you, something like that.
President Johnson said this, you said?
Yeah, yes. But like me and Mike were saying that, because I do get it's like, oh, is it one bad person or is it the whole group? But what we were saying, and no, it's not a bad person. Maybe it's a desperate person or a person that wouldn't resort to crime if other options were more high of a percentage of reality.
Yeah, and that's where we're headed. The criticism of that, of course, is, you know, how many opportunities do you want to get, and on and on and on. And again, it has nothing to do with color. It really doesn't. It has to do with money, poor, your ability to be able to survive in a society where it's hard to survive.
But some people do think it does, to Chris's point, and maybe the comments in YouTube videos are not the best example of human thought, for sure, and maybe not a fair representation of, you know, the population at large.
Yeah. Chris?
I'm actually reading what President Lyndon B. Johnson actually said. He said, because he was brought up in the South, and he's the one who pushed the civil rights. And I'm sorry, just this caught me very interesting. This is quoted from the president. If you convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best colored man, he will not notice you're picking his pockets. Hell, if you give him someone to look down on, he'll empty his own pockets for you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very important. And I want to understand if this is what the situation is at this time. Because again, everyone, they're changing the language. The language is now culture. And no one ever...
Is it?
The change of the language is new, because no one wants to admit they're as poor as the next man, and that even within their own family, they have the same amount of criminals. And that's why that quote from the president rang true to me. Because go ahead. I'm sorry. Mike,
please. No, it's okay. I agree with Kevin. That's been an issue. That's been an easy label for quite a while, I think, Chris. It's the culture.
Because I know, again, this is the one thing that really irks Anderson about our society today. Anderson, what's your feeling on that?
Well, I hear you actually cut off. Like, I cut off for a few seconds. I kind of missed it.
Well, I'm saying that the new language now is culture. And both Kevin and Mike are saying, no, they've been saying that shit for...
That's been going around at least since, hip-hop and rap music have been popular, which is at least 30 years now or whatever.
Yeah, when you call them on that shit, they say, I'm not racist. I didn't say black. I said it's right. That culture that they have.
Well...
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, because what do you say when you say culture? So what do you mean by culture?
There's something new to it. Because the thing is, no one wants to be, because right away, and this is something I should have pointed out in the beginning, right away when the people of color started going back and forth with each other, right away he's like, oh, then I'm a racist Trump supporter, right? And of course the guy's logo is Trump 2024. I mean, just what it was. And they fucking just grab that and say, oh, of course you're looking down on me because I have an opinion.
But like, I mean, in the Italian American culture, there is an aspect of the mob culture. There's an aspect of the guys that do construction and like do the, there's a, you know, the guys that do the restaurants in that culture, like in the
black culture. But we're not talking about that. Everybody, when they bring up culture, they bring up about the black culture. So that's kind of irrelevant, kind of.
I get what you're saying, but like the people that are doing this are ignoring, like, you know, the sports culture that's in the black community, or the entertainment culture that's in the black community, or the business culture that's in the black community.
That doesn't matter to them. What matters to them,
I guess, that it doesn't matter, but that's what I'm saying.
Is that whenever they turn on the news and they see a crime, there's a black face in the picture. I didn't want to bring up this aspect of my observation because this is just what I feel is an observational truth, which is as valid as bro science. Okay. When I was looking through, whenever I saw a crime that they didn't show the perpetrator's face, I had to look deeper and I had to look for their local newspaper. It seemed to be of a person of a lighter persuasion. But whenever it was a crime of a person of color, they put their face right fucking there, prime and center.
That's not just comments in YouTube. That is, you know, prominent journalism that, you know, portray things one way. And, oh, that's definitely...
The only time I've noticed, and you know what, and this, I'm fucking dead wrong about this. This is why we could be wrong, because I'm wrong. And please educate me, audience. Don't let me be wrong like this. The only time I noticed that they showed a white person that's a criminal's face up is only if there was a crime against a child or a elderly person.
Mass shooter.
Or a mass shooter. I mean, it's almost as if we're playing, you know, to the stereotypes.
White collar crime. Yeah.
I don't know that I'd agree with that, Chris, but
I, you know what? I don't know if I agree with it, Mike.
Sure.
I'm just saying that this is the shit I'm noticing, and I feel just as ignorant as the people in the comment section.
Well, no, I mean, you're not the first one to make the accusation that there is a disparity in especially the media coverage of different stories and different crime stories.
Mike says that there's a problem with that, Kevin.
Mike says isn't.
Right, Mike? You said that you wouldn't agree with what I just said.
I'm not dead certain, Chris, but I see in my paper, I see Hispanic and I see white, you know, whatever, victims, whatever as well.
Okay, so Mike, again, and I'm not being an asshole to you, Mike, but what do you see more of, Hispanic or Caucasian in your paper?
Can I make a distinction?
Hold on.
Since Fresno County's probably 60-some percent Hispanic.
Bro, don't fucking do that, Mike. Don't give excuses. It's either yes or no. Come on. What do you see more of?
Well, it's not either. More Hispanic.
Okay, thank you.
What I think the distinction where Chris is making, you know, sometimes in the headline, the fact that the perpetrator is black is part of the story, where if it is a white person committing the crime, it's just a perpetrator. Is that somewhat accurate, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they still report the crime. They're just not blasting their face there because allegedly it's, you know, innocent until proven guilty, right?
I mean, and I mean, honestly, to be fair, you know, if Sun Tzu, Renee, I feel like that they would highly object to all of this. I personally don't, but I'm sure they would all be going absolutely apeshit right now. Pardon my friend.
Again, I it's my fault they're not on.
No. But I'm just saying.
But again, it's fine. And this was a matter of fact, I need to do this. Thank you very much for watching. We could be wrong, but who cares?
Whoa, what?
For Harris.
Whoa.
We will see you next week. Panel, stay on the line. I'm going to stop live streaming now.
I am so confused.
Yeah, what happened?